We're off the Perek Dalet. Let's start with Pasuk Yud Zayin. Oh, do we do Pasuk Tezayin? Do we do all the Rashi's in the Targum? Let's do it again. Pasuk Tezayin, Pnei Hashem Chilkam, the anger of Hashem divided them, dispersed them. Lo Yosef, again, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Tezayin, Pnei Hashem Chilkam, the anger of Hashem dispersed them. Lo Yosef, Lahabidim Hashem will no longer look at them. So we had learned yesterday different interpretations of what this means. Either it's because it's a reason. I think Rashi learns that it's the reason. Let's see Rashi. Pasuk Tezayin. Pnei Hashem Chilkam. Panim means Panim Shel Zam. Rashi interprets with Pnei in the negative form, anger. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger caused them to disperse. Panim Shel Zam Yesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chilkam dispersed them. V'Fridam Ba'Goyim. And he dispersed them among the nations. Leman. Because. What's the reason? So Rashi here says, the second part of the pasuk says, "Asher pnei hakohanim lo nasu biyosam bishal loisam," because the people had no respect for the kohanim when they were in a state of tranquility. Because we had no respect. It's a very frightening interpretation. Because we lack respect for the kohanim. The kohanim are the teachers. They are the ones who guide us, and we ignore them. We did not appreciate who they were in our time of our peace. So therefore, as a punishment, so you don't want to have a relationship with the kohanim, okay? So go into Golis. In Golis, there will be no kohanim. There is no Beis Hamikdash. There is no avoda. You don't need to give tshuva, and you don't need to give tshuva. You don't need to give manas kahuna, and you don't have to bother with the kohanim doing birchas kohanim. In other words, I'll give you what you want. It's a very frightening thing. You don't want the bracha, so you won't have the bracha. In Chutz Li'aretz, there's no need for kohanim. This appears to be rash interpretation. Let's see Targum. Pasuk Tezayin Min Kodom Apei, from the anger of Hashem, due to the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ispiligu, we were dispersed. Lo Yosif Le'istaklo V'Hoyin, Hashem says, I will no longer look at them. I will no longer pay attention to them. Why? V'Hoyin means Le'istaklo V'Hoyin, I will no longer look at them. Among them, why? Begin. Now here is a little bit difficult. Begin because, begin Cain, Umayo Rishiayo Apecha Hanayo Lo Saborus. It's because the wicked nations Lo Saboru, they did not favor. Begin came Umayo Rishiayo, the wicked nations Apecha Lo Saboru. Now I think it means furthermore. Among the goyim will have no respect for the us, and the ilave sovayo lo chasu. When we are in Galus, the goyim have no respect for our elders, and the goyim have no respect for our religious leaders. So seemingly, it's part of the curse. According to the Targum, if I'm not mistaken, it's not a reason. It's not about but rather it's part of the curse. Pnei Hashem Chilkam, Hashem has dispersed them. Lo Yosif Lahabitam. And now, when we find ourselves in Galus, the Goyim, the nations of the world, the wicked nations of the world, will have no respect for our priests. Our religious leaders will be in their eyes as nothing. The Pnei Kohanim lo nasahu, the Goyim will not favor the face of the Kohanim, and Zikenim, and our elders, Uzikenim lo yichananu, and our Zikenim will not be shown any favor by the Umos Ha'olam. That's all part of the curse of Galus.
But the actual Jews themselves didn't respect
the Kohanim. Well, in a Chanami, that's Mida Keneged Mida. That's the reason, but that's not what it says in the Pasuk.
What do you expect from the Goyim?
In a chinami, that has to be read into the pasuk on your own, but it's not part of what the pasuk actually says. The pasuk, according to Rashi, the pasuk is giving you a reason. Pnei Hashem Chilkam lo Yosef lahabitam. Why? There's a reason, because we did not appreciate our kohanim, we did not appreciate our zikenim, so therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu punished us by dispersing us. According to the Targum, it appears he's saying it's a continuation. It's that when we're going to be among the goyim, then we're not going to have any respect respect in their eyes, to the point where they will not show any favor to our religious leaders, and they will not show any favor to our elders. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud-Zayin. Pasuk Yud-Zayin says, while we were oideinu, oideinu tichlena. While tichlena einenu el ezreinu havel. While we were yearning, tichlena means our eyes are strained. Our eyes are strained. They're longing el ezreinu havel for assistance of nothingness. In other words, the pasuk is saying is that while let's see the whole pasuk with Rashi, b'tzipi yoseinu tzipinu, in our anticipation, in our hope, we yearn el goy for a nation lo yoshia. Let's see Rashi explains the pshat in the pasuk. Pasuk Yizayin, oideinu tichlena einenu el ez Rosenu Havel Kishaba Oleinu Hora. This over here is telling us how low we have fallen. While we were under siege and the enemy was closing in, the noose was tightening upon us during the time of the Churban Bayis Rishain. Kishaba Oleinu Hora. Adayin hoyu einenu tsoifos el chel paro. So the psukim in Yeshaya and Malachim tell us that we still had false hope that at the very last moment Mitzrayim will come to our aid. Mitzrayim was represented. We learned Yeshaya. I always tell you about this thing. I made up this term called the musical chairs. The musical chairs that every generation is a new superpower. And at that time, Mitzrayim, that generation, I mean, I tell you, today America is the Mitzrayim. It's the world superpower. We're always looking for, we think that someone's going to come to our aid. So during the time, today we live in the Medina Shel Chesed. Let's not make any mistake about it. The United States has been extremely kind and good to the Jewish people. That is a fact. And we have a lot of trouble today, obviously, what happened yesterday and what's going on in the world, obviously. But because of the good that in the past they have done for us, we seem to have confidence. We seem to have a degree of complacency that they will always be there to protect us. And this was true during the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, as Nebuchadnezzar was closing in. Klal Yisrael, in the back of their minds, thought we have still nothing to worry about. Mitzrayim, the world superpower, will come to our aid at the very last moment. They promised us. They told us, "We got your back. We got your back." They told us that they love us more than we love ourselves. I mean, you just have to go read the news, and you can see all of the expressions that they say today. So all of those expressions were the same exact nuschos we used during the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. And that's what it says. And then, so Adayin Hoyu Einenu Tzoifos El Chel Paro, the army of Paro, the whole military might will come down upon the Nebuchadnezzar, Shenemar Bohem, Umitzrayim. But the truth is, it says about Mitzrayim, Hevel Vorik Yazoiru. Their assistance is utterly worthless. Hevel, it's futile, it's a hot air. Rik, it's empty. Their assistance is empty, is worth nothing. Shehoyim avtichem oisanu azara. Egypt, the super world power, promised that they will come to our rescue in a time of need. V'loivahu. And the end was, Nebuchadnezzar closed in, and no one was there to save us. Kemo shenemar bohem, like it says in the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, hinei chel paro hayotzi lechem la'ezra, shov la'artzoi Mitzrayim. But the truth was, they did set out to help us. At the very, very end, when we sent in an SOS, they were desperate, so they sent out a fleet of ships to come to Eretz Yisrael to give assistance. But as the ships were traveling, Mitzinu b'medrash, kinois, in the medrash kinois, that's kinois means the medrash of Eicha, shahoyu bohem b'svinois, as they were traveling on ships, Ramas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Layam V'Heitzef Lefneim Noidois Nefuchim Kemin Me'ei Adam Minorim B'Mayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hinted to the ocean. Hashem told the ocean that it should bring up there should be a storm, and empty flasks that were lying on the seabed should come up to the surface, and these empty flasks had the tsura of dead bodies. And as the sailors were passing through the waters, the Mediterranean, they saw these flasks, and they were reminded of what happened 500 years ago at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. They were reminded that all of Egypt was drowned in the sea at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf. And they said to themselves, why are we going to risk our lives and spend our money on saving these people when their ancestors destroyed our country? So in Ramaz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Leim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the sea, Heitzif Lefneim Doides Nefuchim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused that the sea should bring up empty flasks, kimin me'ei adam, which look like the stomachs of human beings, nin odin b'mayim, and these things were floating in the water. Amru, the Egyptians said to themselves, zelozeh, hanoides halalu heim avoseinu, these bodies, look at these bodies floating in the water, you know what these bodies are? These are the bodies of our ancestors. Anshei Mitzrayim, shetavu b'yam, which sunk in the sea, machmas hayehudim, because hayehudim halalu, because of these Jews. And we are so foolish to go and risk our lives and our wealth, v'anachnu So what happened? They made an about face and they aborted the mission. Mission aborted. They went back. Amdu v'chazru li'achayrehem. They went backwards. So that's what it says in the pasuk. It says in the pasuk over here is oidenu while techlena einenu. The pasuk over here is telling us a very hard, very powerful musar, and it's very relevant for our times. That while our eyes were strained, were longing, and were seeking hope, where will our salvation come from? Instead of directing our hope in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, el ez roseinu havel, we put our hope in empty salvation, in Mitzrayim, in the world superpower. They will come to our aid. And this was considered here, Yirmiyah is writing in Eicha, that this was a terrible sin. Salvation does not come from a nation, salvation only comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What?
You said this was in the Mediterranean.
But where do they travel? You go from Egypt. How do you go from Egypt to Eretz Yisrael?
Mediterranean.
You're right, okay.
But that's not where the Yitzhak.
In the Hanami, it doesn't make a difference. Are you saying the Yamsuf?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe they thought that the Yamsuf flowed into the Mediterranean somehow. You're right, it was just some type of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't the real thing anyway, it was just empty flasks. It was just something HaKadosh Baruch Hu planted a thought in their minds that they should not. It's an incredible thing over here. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here is playing with a person's mind. The Egyptians, really, they were willing to be true to their promise. They were willing to save Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu played around with their minds and did something to them in order to sway their minds to do something, to not to come to our aid. And then the pasuk goes on to say, "Bitzipiosenu." Repeats the same exact thing the second time. The next part of the pasuk, "Bitzipiosenu tzipinu," in our intense yearning. The same word we use for the coming of Moshiach, "Tzipisa liYeshua." One of the questions that the person is asked, "Achar Me'ad Eshim," "Tzipisa liYeshua," "Bitzipiosenu tzipinu," in our intense longing for salvation, "El Goy Lo Yoshia." We relied upon a nation that it was unable to do anything for us. Like I said, Allah has come, in our generation, we're all looking to the United States, and we're very thankful, but we have to realize that our destiny is not dependent upon the United States, it depends upon us, it depends upon time of the Megillah, Leich kinois es kol hayehudim, v'tsumu alai v'al teichu v'al tishtu. It's the only way we can have salvation is in from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And let's proceed the time.
Appreciate the godless in Shemos when it says, in Bo, Gamalish Moshe, Kodovinei Avodovinei Mitzrayim, they thought even the Mitzrayim, even though Bnei Yisrael, even though God had destroyed Mitzrayim already at the end of the Makkos, they still thought Moshe Rabbeinu was great regardless. So that was one of the nisim. You would think normally you would hate him. He represented all their destruction. but they still had great respect for Moshe, the Mitzrayim.
The Mitzrayim had respect for Moshe Rabbeinu. Was still respected. Okay, let's see the Targum on Pasuk Yud Zayin. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Now, by the way, you should know, coming up here are some very shocking Targumim, and it's like it's a commentary for exactly what's happening today. Explicitly talks about Edom and Persia. We're going to see in the few psukim. It's really, really very, very frightening what we're about to learn in a few psukim from now in the Targum. Let's see Pasuk Yud Zayin first. Pasuk Yud Zayin says, Od Safon E Nono Leistakolah Lesayo. While our eyes were yearning for salvation, Dehavena Misinon Lenukroe. Which there's no more. There's two more. There's over there. There's one. While we're Daveina Mesinon Lenuchrae, where we're yearning for the foreigners, the Isatich Lano Lechabalu. We waited for the nations which turned into enemies to us. The Isatich Lano Lechabalu. They were transformed into our enemies. We thought these nations would be our help. So he's translating over here what it means, Havel. Havel, according to the Targum, is not just that they didn't come to our aid. It's saying something a lot deeper. They turned into our enemies. We think that when we rely upon a nation, they're going to help us. They make a deal. So listen, so they get a little bit lazy. They don't come to our aid. It's worse than just not coming to our aid. They become our enemy. That's what the Targum says. The Isapich Lono Lechabalu. They were transformed into our enemy. That's how he translates Havel. Then he goes on to say, Bisichusono. That means our longing. That's the translation for b'tzipiyosenu tzipinu, and our longing lenuchroe for the foreign nations. The inun ama, though in truth those were nations, the lo yifrok, that were of no salvation to us. It's a repetition, it's a poetic repetition of this idea that we put our hope in something which on one end turned into our enemy and also was not able to provide any assistance. Okay, so now there's one other point I want to make, and that is there are two words, the partial point, there are two different words that are used here. There's Ezra Seinu, Havel, and there is El Goy Lo Yoshia. Every day when we conclude the first bracha of Shmon Esrei, we conclude Melech Oizer Umoshia Umogain. So what is the difference between Ozer and Moshia? Ozer usually is a reference to mean someone who helps themselves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps those who help themselves. A person has a plan. So you're doing your hishtadlus. You know exactly what you want to do, but there are many pitfalls. There are many things that can go wrong. You need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help you implement and to succeed in your plan. So Ozer means Hashem, I know what I gotta do. You put me in this world to be creative, do hishtadlus. I'm doing my hishtadlus. Just help me along. Help me along help me reach my goal. But sometimes a person is so helpless, is so lost. You don't know what to do. You're completely lost. You don't know what to do. Then you need a Kadosh Baruch Hu to be a Moshia. A Moshiach is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he takes the initiative. You're in a dungeon, and he comes, but you have no plan. This is a higher madrega. You have no plan. I don't know what to do. I'm lost. I don't know the first thing what to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes in and saves. That's called Moshiach. And then there is Mogein. Mogein means you're just sitting alone, and you need protection. You don't even know this danger. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also serves as a shield. So here, the Pasuk says that these nations did nothing for us. The nations which we put our faith in were, number one, Aideinu Techlena Einenu, while we were longing for salvation, El Ezra Seinu Havel. Our plans were futile. We had an arrangement. We had an arrangement with the nations of the world that if this happens, they're going to come to our aid. There was a system in place. The system failed. backup plan. Okay, the system failed, but maybe someone, you know, will solicit donations. We'll call the Red Cross. We'll call in the UN. Someone should come and just save us. No bit sipio sinu tzipinu el goy lo yoshia. Melch Ozer Moshia, that's the second word, Moshia, is that no one came on their own. No one came, no one stepped forward on their own to come to our assistance. So our plans have failed. What we wanted to, I mean, maybe our plans have failed, and some type of good-will nation that was willing to step forward and save us also did not come to be. And that is what the Pasuk here comes to warn, that we were doomed. We were doomed at the time of the Churban Bayis, and we should learn from our mistakes and not put our hope in nations that are not going to come to our aid in the future. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Ches. Tzadu tzadeinu milachas berchoi v'seinu. Our enemies, they trapped us. Tzadu is from the word of tzeda. Tzeda means to entrap. They did not let us flee. They put us in ghettos. You can read this into Nazi Germany, what they did to Klal Yisrael. They put us in ghettos. They trapped us from walking in the streets. All the Jews have to be locked up in these ghettos. Korav kitzenu, our end came near. Molu yomenu, our days were numbered. Kiva kitzenu, our end has come. We all knew, I mean, this is right out of, you know, the Warsaw ghetto. You go all the various ghettos, the people living in those ghettos, this is probably on the tip of their tongue, exactly the way they felt during those very difficult times. Let's see, Rashi Pasuk Yud Ches, Tzadu tse'odenu, they trapped our steps. They prevented us from walking in the streets. Oyveinu, our enemies, Orvu es tzadeinu, they lurked, they ambushed our footsteps. Mileches berchoi vaseinu, we were not allowed to walk in the street. If we were caught walking in the street, they would kill us. Kamo, where do we find the word tzadi dalid referring to footsteps? Or kamo v'asher loy tzada, that did not lay an ambush. Vasher loy tzada, vato tzada es nafshi. Another pasuk in Shmuel, it says you are, the first pasuk was referring to a rotzeach. The person who comes upon his friend and he kills him by accident. Vasher loy tzada, he did not try to lie an ambush to trap him and to kill him. And the pasuk in Shmuel says vato, and you tzada es nafshi, you shol, are trying to trap my neshama. You're trying to close in on me and destroy me. Trami. Okay, let's see Pasuk Yud Ches in the Targum. Pasuk Yud Ches, Hinun Tzadin Shevilona Mi Limehach Leroychatzon Bith Lot Yosona. Okay, so they trapped our roads from walking securely in the streets. They ambushed us, so the Shiva Lana means our roads, that's the path, that word is being added in by the Targum. Our roads were closed. The highway was shut. Milinehach, we were not allowed to walk in the streets. Lerechatzon means to walk with security. Biflot Yosana, in the street, period. Amarna, we said, at this point in time, when the roads were closed, when the borders were shut, okay, you could also interpret this as interpreting that we tried to escape during World War II, from one country to the next country, the borders were shut. And when our borders were shut, we knew that time, that was it, our end was near. Kirav Soifana, the end was near. Ismili'u yomona, our days were numbered. Our days were full. We don't have much more time left. Arum mata, because it has arrived. Sofana, our end has arrived. Very frightening pasuk. Pasuk Yutes. Kalim hayu roitfeinu minishrei shamayim. Our enemies were swifter than the eagles of the heaven, or whatever the nesher is. Al heharim dilakunu, they pursued us. They chased after us in the desert. Oruvu, the mountain, Bamidbar. No. It says here. I'm sorry. On the mountains. I'm sorry. Al harim de lakunu. They chased us on the mountains. Bamidbar in the desert. Oruvu lanu. They would lay in ambush. Rashi. There is no Rashi. Let's see the Targum Pasuk Yutes. Pasuk Yutes says ka lilin havu rod fana. Our enemies were swift, yatir, faster, more than the nishrei shamaya, the vultures of the sky, the eagles, whatever the eagle is, the nesher, al turaya, upon the mountains, adliku yosona, they chased after us, vimadbira, komonu lona, in the desert, they lied in ambush. Okay, so there are a few important things. Number one is the metaphor of the nesher. And the Mefarshim explained that it's zel umazel. Like this is one of the major themes of Kinois is betseisi mitzrayim, betseisi mirushalayim. When we left Mitzrayim, Hashem says vo esa eschem al kanfei nesharim kefitzas sadera. Kinesher your Kinoi. Kinesher has many different forms. The Kinesher is it's the most protective creature. It puts its children upon its wings. Instead of putting its children below its wings, it puts the children upon its wings as if to say that I'm only afraid of the arrows, and if someone shoots an arrow, let the arrow come into me. That same creature that is protective of its children is now the one that's coming to destroy us. It's the contrast of how far we have fallen, b'tzeisim mitzrayim to b'tzeisim mishalayim. And the next thing is the swiftness, the kefitza saderach, ki b'chipozin yotzasim mitzrayim. We traveled, the motion, beginning of Parashas Tevarim, achad osayom mechorev derech har seir, a trip that should have taken 11 days, only took 3 days. Kefitza saderach, that is the fulfillment of al kanfein nisharim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us at warp speed. Right, a warp speed to reach our destination. And here our enemies came upon us extremely quickly. When the enemies came upon us with unusual azrizus, they took it as a siman that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to destroy us, and they were invigorated, and they attacked us and they harmed us to even a greater degree than they otherwise would have done. So again, we're comparing over here, the horror of the Nesher has turned against us. Another very interesting idea I came across in the Mamlois is that normally the words here are reversed. Normally in the mountain is not a place where the enemy is able to pursue swiftly his victim. Because the mountain is hilly, it's very hard to climb. It's guerrilla warfare. In guerrilla warfare, you don't run after the enemy very quickly. On the mountain, that's the place where you have to lie in ambush. You have to wear fatigues, camouflage clothing, and you have to lie in ambush to very cleverly attack your enemy. In the Midbar, the flat land of the desert, where there are no trees, there's no bushes, it's just sand, it's just empty, there is where you can quickly pursue your enemy. So if we were writing this pasuk, we would have written, Kalim hoyu defeinim nishrei shamayim, al heharim orvu lanu. Upon the mountains they laid an ambush, and bamidbar, on the desert, dilakunu, they pursued us, they chased after us. That seemingly would be the correct way to write the pasuk, and yet it's reversed. Why is it reversed? So this technique was lamal mederech hateva. It's showing that the techniques that you normally use in the desert, you're able to use on the mountains to our disadvantage. Techniques you would use on the mountain, you can use in the desert to our disadvantage. The whole, our stumbling, our defeat was lemala miderech hateva. Like, you know, the Yom Kippur War, there was lemala miderech hateva, our victory, our success. All the historians say you can't even study the Israeli wars, when the state was established, and all the subsequent wars. It's not even something that you can study, you can use in a...
It was something in West Point.
West Point. It's not part of the curriculum. because it's l'malam mederech hatev. Even from
you don't study miracles.
You don't study miracles. They teach you techniques al derech hateva. You don't teach techniques. It was l'malam mederech hateva, our success. Barachmana litzlan, at the time of the Churban, our defeat was l'malam mederech hateva. And this pasuk is employing a certain technique, a certain type of style, which is very common in Tanakh, to reverse words that should have been elsewhere in order to bring out this idea. Okay, now we come to Pasuk Chaf. Pasuk Chaf tells us about Ruach Apeinu Mashiach Hashem. This is very important. This is the theme of this. The major theme of this parak is the death of Yoshiyahu. Simply refers to the Mashiach Hashem as Yoshiyahu. He was the Ruach Apeinu. He was the Mashiach Hashem. He could have been the Melech HaMashiach. Nilkad Bishchi Soysan. He was caught in their traps. Okay, b'shchitzo, some of their different translations. It can mean in their pit. Okay, but over here in the art school, they translated the word trap. It's the same idea, because a pit is a trap. The Mashiach Hashem was called b'shchitzo, some in the trap of Paro Necho. Asher Omarnu. Who was this person? Who was the person that we are discussing? Melech Yoshiyahu. He was the man, Asher Amarnu Bitzilo, in his shade, Nichye Vagoyim, in his shade we will live among the Goyim. Now there are many interpretations, so let's see Rashi first, and then we'll one thing at a time. Pasachov, Ruach HaMashiach Hashem Hu Yoshiyahu. Rashi makes it clear. The Mashiach Hashem is the Melech Yoshiyahu, Kmo Shenemar. Vayikoinein Yirmiyahu Al Yoshiyahu. In the pits that they dug. Now, simply means, according to Rashi, Rashi is not really filling in all the details, so this translates simply according to Rashi, that this happened 22 years before the Churban. We know that Menashe, the son of Chizkiyahu, and Amon, the son of Menashe, those two kings together, they brought Klal Yisrael to a spiritual low that was unprecedented, to the degree where they brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Amon brought in a Tzelem, brought in an Avodah Zarah. Menashe only brought the Tzelem into the Heichal, but Amon went a step further, he brought the Tzelem into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why not? Open up the doors. He didn't die. That's part of that. Titus came and he didn't die. When the Kedusha, when the Mikdash was defiled, there was no Kedusha. The only time a person dies in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is when there is Kedusha. When there's Kedusha, you go in, then there's death. But when there's no Kedusha, the Shekhinah already left, so it's just an empty room. You're still not allowed to go there. You're still not allowed to go there, but it's not instant death. But Menashe and Amon, they defiled the Beis HaMikdash. Chazal even say that Amon, he brought his mother, his own mother, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and was Mizana with her. There in the Kodesh Ad Kedei Kach, that's how wicked he was. So he brought Klal Yisrael down to his spiritual low. Along came Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu was the great grandson of Chizkiyahu, and a spark of holiness burnt, was ignited within him. And when he was 8 years old, he realized that something doesn't make sense. He did tshuva, and he started the greatest tshuva movement in the history of the world. And he transformed Klal Yisrael to astonishing heights of Kedusha. He was the last hope we had that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not destroy the Beis HaMikdash. But we discussed many times, but that during his lifetime, Paro Necho wanted to go to war against the king of Ashur in the city of Carchemish, which is in the tip end of Aram Naharaim. It's the west tip of Aram Naharaim. And in order to get to Bavel, the end of Bavel, Aram Naharaim is Bavel, you have to go travel through Eretz from Egypt, you have to travel through Eretz Yisrael. And Paro and Yoshiyahu refused him to travel. And because he felt that Klal Yisrael has already reached the level of what it says in the Bracha, his failure was he did not consult with Yirmiyahu. We discussed yesterday, he did not consult with Yirmiyahu, who was the Navi. The Navi would have told him that you're mistaken, Klal Yisrael have not yet reached that level of Kedusha. They still have some people who are Oiv, they have a Dezore in secret. So he was the Mashiach Hashem. He could have been, had he listened to Yirmiyahu, he could have turned into Mamish, the Melech HaMashiach. The Mikdash would have been permanently transformed into the Bayis Shlishi, had he listened to Yirmiyahu. He was caught in their trap, the trap of Paro Necho, or we can interpret this homiletically, he was caught in the trap of the people. The people misled him. They told him, we are tzaddikim. Come inspect us. Could you imagine today? Today, can you imagine, think about this, can you imagine today that you would let Rabbanim would be allowed to come inspect everyone's home? It's a shocking thing to say. Can you imagine people, they come to shul, everyone looks fine and good, everyone's a nice dark suit, white shirt, black hat, we're all tzaddikim, we send our children all to the best yeshivas. Okay, so the Rabbanim will say, okay, we wanted us to make sure everything is kosher v'yosher, we're sending inspectors to everyone's home. Everyone, for everything. Internet, what? They used to do that? Can you imagine, 22, imagine today, the Rabbanim and Shabbos Chazoyim will get up.
When you wanted to be a member and you had to have home inspected, and a lot of people were turned down for various reasons.
Everyone has to bring in their computer. Everyone, you come into the home, inspect. Full inspection. Can you imagine? We would go out of our minds today, right? We would put the Rabbanim in jail for even suggesting such a thing, to let them come into our homes and inspect everything in the home. Everything should be in order. We would lynch them. What?
You know of a certain children in the neighborhood that does not allow you to be a member if you're on Facebook. Right.
I'm not aware of this.
How do they know? How do they know if you're on Facebook?
I used to. I don't do this anymore.
Which you were very familiar.
Am I sure?
No. Next door.
Are Yitzchok? Mm-hmm. Are Yitzchok does not allow you to be a member if you have a Facebook? Okay. Maybe for them it makes sense because you know. I can't imagine they enforce that policy. It's very hard to believe. All right, whatever it is. But could you imagine such a thing? Today we would never tolerate it, but that's exactly what Yeshayahu did. You have to put yourself in that generation. Yeshayahu said, I'm sending inspectors. Everyone's home was inspected for Avodah Zarah, or can you imagine for everything? And you come in, everything looks fine and good. But the truth was, they were able to outsmart the inspectors. They divided the Avodah Zarah on two sides of the door, so on and so forth. They were techniques, but it's incredible. So Bishchisa means in the trap of the people. The people misled Yoshiyahu. They trapped him. They led him on to believe that we passed inspection. They hang up a sign on the outside of the door, A, B, and C. Right, there's a mezuzah, and next to the mezuzah, the inspector, the rabbinic inspector, puts the quality, the internet, the bandwidth is not as good as next door. We'll give him a B.
Put up a sign pending.
The people, everyone got an A. So Yoshio, you looked at the records. Everyone in Klal Yisrael gets an A from the inspectors. This was the trap. Okay, Pashup Shah means the trap was from Paro Necho. Paro Necho, he trapped Yoshio into being killed. They waited in ambush to kill him, to assassinate him. But Al Derech Joshua means the people of Klal Yisrael trapped Yoshio into believing they were tzaddikim and they were roy of the bracha of the Cherev Lo Yisavar B'Yaretzichem. Asher Omar Nu B'Tzilo Nichya Bagoyim, they said, we will live in a shade. Now that can mean one of two things. It means that the Mitzrayim was the world's superpower. We had faith in Egypt. We never believed that our best friend would destroy us. Paro, Egypt, Klal Yisrael, they had a good relationship.
Sounds familiar.
Before you came, we discussed this a little bit. That Klal Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, had a very good relationship with the world power, with the super world power of the time, which was Egypt. Paro Necho was a big major player. So they had treaties, and there was trade, and there was goodwill. So now Egypt asked the Jews for a favor. We're going to war against Melech Asher and Karkamish. We want air rights. We want to fly our jets over your land. So we told them no. We told them no. So we figured insulting Mitzrayim. All right. So we insulted them. So they know how to take an insult. They're not going to go and retaliate against us. They are the nation that we always look to for support. They gave us billions of dollars in aid. Asher Omarnu, we the Jewish people said about Mitzrayim, Bitziloi, in their protective shade, Nichye Vagoyim, will survive among the nations. Whenever in the United Nations there's a resolution that's put forth in the United Nations to condemn Eretz Yisrael, they are the ones that will veto that resolution. That is what we said. They're the ones who supported us. Can it be now that they would send in an assassination team to kill our king? To kill us and to destroy us? Impossible. The nation that we look to for support and who has supported us, they would never become our enemy. But it's exactly what happened. And who did they kill? They killed none other than the Melech HaMashiach, the one that could have saved the whole world. So Pasuk says, the Ruach HaPein, the Mashiach HaShem, Nilkad, was trapped Bishchi Soysam in their trap, either the trap of the Jewish people, the trap of Melech, Asher Amarnu. Asher, let's learn Milka Bishchit, so some still means in the trap of Egypt. Asher, and we said about Egypt, Mitzilo Nichyev Agoyim, and through their protective shade, we will survive among the nations of the world. And look what they did to us. They turned their backs on us. Worse, they sent in someone to kill Melech HaMashiach. That is one very shocking, scary interpretation.
Right, and it was sort of the same situation. Hashmonai brought in the Romans to help them.
Exactly. They thought the Romans would help them. And Pum Vakar, the Romans went.
Stood on the side and said, we'll just pick up the pieces from whoever wins.
So that's one interpretation. And then the other interpretation is that Klal Yisrael felt there's no need to do tshuva because the zechus of the tzaddikim will save us. This is, it actually appears in the Gemara. The Gemara talks about Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera and his community were a lot of ganavim. And the ganavim refused to do tshuva because they said, we have here living among us Rabbi Zera. And Rabbi Zera, his zechus is making upon the entire community, so we can do whatever we want. We'll be okay. And when he died, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him away in order that they should stop such an attitude. So here's the same exact thing. Asher Nilkad Bishchi Soysam, he was trapped in, he was caught in their trap. Asher Marnu, the Jewish people saying, you know why Yoshiyahu was killed? So here the Pasuk says, Asher Amarnu, because the Jewish people said that we do not need to do tshuva. We can continue to secretly worship idols. We can continue business as usual. Why? Because we have a very great tzaddik among us. That in his zechus will survive. Bitziloi, in the shade of Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu, in his zechus, nichyev agoyim. We will survive. Hashem says that's not an excuse. You have to earn your keep on your own. You have to have your own merits in order to survive in Galus. And Deva Kadosh Baruch Hu, he took away Yoshiyahu so that we would be forced to tshuva on our own. Which unfortunately did not happen either. And it led shortly thereafter, 22 years later, to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Okay, now let's see the Targum. Targum Pasuk Chaf. Targum Pasuk Chaf says, Ruach HaPeinu, the breath of our nostrils. Malko Yoshiyahu, the King Yoshiyahu, the Hava, the king was choviv lo no kinishmas ruach chayin div apono. He was so precious to us, he was like the way we value our the breath of life. Just like a person values, it is precious to a person the breath of his life, that's how valuable the life of the Melech Yoshua was. Vahava misrabe bimshach, and he was anointed with the Shemen Hanishcha. Now that's a very interesting thing. That's what's called Mashiach Hashem. The reason the Targum adds in, and we would normally say he's the anointed one. What do you mean he's the anointed one? It means that he's roiti the Melech HaMashiach. What is it? He says it very literally that he was actually anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, the Shemen HaMishcha, the holy oil. What happened to him? Ischad. And by the way, Mashiach Hashem, there's a discussion that the Melech does not need to be anointed. Let's just take a step back. A Ben Melech does not need to be anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. A Kohen Gadol needs to be anointed, but a Melech does not, because he's a Meyuchas. He's the son of the previous king. However, after Omoin, his father died, who was a Rasha, Merusha, the lowest of the low, so it was viewed in Klal Yisrael as a need for renewal. If the father was a tzaddik, and there was no machloikis going on, so then the next king, automatically, it's a seamless transition, there's no need for Shemen HaMishcha. But whenever there is a machloikis, for example, a Shlomo. Shlomo was the son of David. but it says explicitly he was anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. Why? Because there was Machlekes. Adonia ven Chagis misnasei leimar niyemlech. He wanted to be the king. So when there's Machlekes, then it has to be a din of, it has to be a new Shemen HaMishcha, public display. Likewise, Yoshiyahu is like a new start. Because he came after two very wicked kings, it was a new start. Therefore, there was a need for there to be the Shemen HaMishcha, even according to Halacha. Okay? And now the pasuk goes on to conclude. Ischad means he was trapped. He was trapped b'meitzar chibulehoin in a harmful trap. Chavola. He was destroyed. He was murdered, brutally murdered. 3,300 arrows were shot into his body. The Mitzrae of the Egyptians, the Haveno Omrin Alohi, and we said, so the Targum is learning about Yoshe, that he was such a great tzaddik. We, the Jewish people, would say about Yoshiyahu, Bitlal Zichu say, in the shade of his merit, Nechei, we will live, Beinei Amaya. In his Zichus, we will survive. And therefore, they did not do tshuva on their own. And therefore, now when he died, the trouble got very, very intense. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk Chav Aleph. Now we begin some very frightening psukim that are very relevant. Yeah. Tzur Mishalo, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Now we're winding down. This, to some degree, is really the end. It's really the end of Sefer Eicha. Sisi v'simchi bas Edoin. Rejoice, Edoin. You know what? You might as well rejoice while you have a chance. Or you might as well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the good that you're going to have in this world is going to be the final pay, because there's not going to be another world for you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards a person for his good deeds. So you might as well take it all in now, because there's nothing you're going to get in the next world. Sisi v'simchi, two expressions, bas edoim, sasein v'simcha, bas edoim, yesheves who lives, be'eretz utz. Where is the land of utz? Okay, so the Targum says it's Armenia.
Armenia.
It sounds almost like America, right? But whatever it is, okay, Armenia. Okay, Be'eretz Utz, in the land of Utz. Don't worry, you can rejoice now. Gam Olayich, your day will come. Ta'avar Kos, the Kos Hatarela. This is the famous Kos Hatarela in Yeshaya, the cup of poison. The cup of poison, the potion of poison that you'll be given to drink, that will bring about your demise, will pass to you. Tishkiri, you will be intoxicated from this cup of poison. You will drink your fill. This sis orui, and you'll vomit. You'll drink it and you'll vomit it out, and that's going to be to your detriment, because if you vomit it out, you'll be able to drink it again and again and again. It'll torture you until your demise comes. You'll become drunk from it and you'll vomit it. Let's take a look at Rashi. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Sisi v'simui basedan nisnabe Yirmiyahu al Churban by a sheni sheyachrivuhu roimim, the Romans, because Edom, what in the world is Edom here doing in this in Eicha? Yirmiyahu wrote primarily wrote Eicha in reference to what was about to take place. The Churban by Yisrishayim, the Edom was not involved. Edom was not involved. They were outsiders. The one that destroyed the Bayis Rishon was Bavel, the Vuchanetza Melech Bavel. Now, Mechol, you did make mention of the Medrash, and maybe Ramayevsky made mention, is that the truth was Edom did come to watch, to be a spectator at the Chorban Bayis Rishon. It says in the Medrash, they stood at a distance, and they basically said, we'll join the winners. We'll see who wins. We'll come here and see who wins. And if the Jewish people win, so then we'll say, oh, see, we came here to help you out. We came here to help you rebuild, and if we'll be our friends, and do business with us, and be good to us. And if the Jewish people will lose, then we'll also partake of the spoils. Halacha b'yadenu Esav sone Yaakov. Esav is a tzayid b'fiv. Esav, you got to watch out for Esav. You don't know what they say. One thing, achas bepeh, the achas belev. Yitzchak was deceived by Esav. Yitzchak, there are elements in Klal Yisrael that can be easily deceived by Esav. Esav is at Sayyid Befiv. Say one thing, they mean something else. And that's exactly what they did at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. They came to the Nebuchadnezzar, they stood by the side, and they said, they were deceptive, we'll be with the winners. But here the pasuk reveals exactly what they did. But the Rashi says, don't even say, the Rashi says we're referring to the time, we're referring to the Churban Bayis Sheni. Over here, Yirmiyahu is predicting what's going to happen 500 years from the time that he wrote this pasuk. 500 years later, it's Churban Bayis Sheni, that Edom is, they live in the land of Utz. Okay, I don't think we really know whatever that is, and they will also receive the kais.
The general area that it is
Armenia.
And of course, Utz is where Eov.
Yes. Eov, the land of Utz. Okay, very good. I know that. Very good. Let's see the Rashi again. See, Sivsivas Edom in this Nabi Yirmiyahu al Churban Bayis Sheni Sheyach Rivuhu Roimim the Meromans. See, Sivsimchi, rejoice. Lefi Sheshah. Now, what do you mean rejoice? What do you mean rejoice? It means now. For the moment. For the moment, you can have a good time. Avul Soifcha, but the end's going to be Shagam Olecha Tavar Kois HaPuranos. You will drink the cup of punishment, the kais hatarela, the sishkiri mimenu, you'll become drunk. The tishkiri mimenu, you'll become drunk, intoxicated from this cup of poison. In other words, it'll take over. The poison will entirely take over. Will penetrate your essence. The sis ori, it means to vomit. The sakia, this sakii. Vomit out this poison. Kimo vata'ar kadot, says about the pitcher of Hagar. Hagar, she poured out the pitcher. I'm sorry, vata'ar kadot. She emptied. I'm sorry, Rivka.
Rivka
emptied out the pitcher into the trough, into the feeding trough for the animals to drink. Vata'ar kadot elashokes. Now let's take a look at this very frightening targum. The four cups of tarela in Yeshaya?
No.
A different place in Tanakh.
Refresh
my memory.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Okay.
So
the four cups, the kois paro.
Right.
He said it four times with kois, so it refers to four. Four malchios. Okay. Each one of the four malchios will drink the kois tarela. Very interesting. Okay, now look at this targum. You know, this Ramesh Hashkacha Pradis. We're learning this against the backdrop of current events. Look at the targum. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Pasuk Chaf Aleph says, Chodi means rejoice. Uvedichi, and also two words which mean sisi v'sivui. Two words which mean to rejoice, and laugh.
Laugh.
So he's saying, teaching that simchi means laugh. So laugh then means an external manifestation of joy. Sisi then would mean an internal sense of joy. And an external, that's the next word, ubedichin laugh.
Have a good laugh now.
Have a good laugh now. Enjoy now, because Berato, the Edom, daughter Edom, the Yaso who sits be aro du'utz. Okay, then it writes over here in the parentheses. You have the parentheses in your edition?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so be targum kadmoin. I think it means, the kof means kad, in an earlier edition, Hagiris, in an earlier edition of the original edition, it says, Chodihi, Uvidoichi, those are the same two words, Karta, the city, the Misbanya, that is built, Be'ara, and Be'arad, Armenia.
Armenia.
Okay.
Okay, so.
I'm going to take a guess at what that means.
Yes.
Constantinople,
yeah.
Which was the seat of Christianity,
mm-hmm.
In the
okay.
early days.
The Byzantine Empire.
Yeah.
Okay, Constantinople, the First Crusades, a lot of Mechanami, okay. The Ba'ara Armenia, Bisagi'in, rejoice over your enormous empire, your army, your legions. Bisagi'in, Oich Loisin, your Oich Loisin means the people, I'm sorry, it refers to your inhabitants, your population. You have an enormous population. The Min Ama Nuchra, your enormous population of strangers. Dinin amo nuchroe. Now that could be translated as you're a nation of immigrants. it says that you're a nation. Where do the people come from? Are they natives or have, like look at America? America is a nation of immigrants. Is that not correct? It was founded, we're all immigrants, the whole nation. You talk about this over here, you can't ignore the fact that the word Armenia is very similar to America. You can't ignore that fact. And you can't, what?
More similar to Armenia.
Obviously, Armenia is the real thing, but in today, in modern day, Armenia is not a player. It is?
Right now, it's the only one beating ISIS.
Okay, I'm just making an observation. Okay, Rabbi Chol said, going back historically, it's referring to Constantinople, the seat of the Byzantine Empire. Okay. B'sagi'in oich loisinin, you're in enormous numbers. Dimin amo nuchro'e, of a foreign. What does that mean? Dimin amo nuchro'e. It's a nation of strangers. Af, don't worry, you'll also get what you deserve. Af olayich osidlime se pur anusa, you'll get punished. Now, we could have stopped right there. The Targum doesn't say exactly who's going to come and punish them, but the Targum tells us some secrets. Targum Yonasan, some secrets. Vitzadion yosich, you'll be trapped. Parchivoe. Parchivoe is the Persians.
Parsoi.
Yeah, Parsoi, I have a different word. I have Parchivoe. Parchivoe is the same thing as the Parsim. Okay, it's another word for the Persians. Yeah. The Persians, they will come and they will destroy you.
Iranians.
Who today are the Persians? Are the Iranians.
Iranians.
The Iranians are going to destroy Farsi. They're going to destroy Edoim. Edoim is, today we view Edoim as European Union, United States, the West. Usibad alayich, and it will be brought, it will pass to the Sibar will be passed alayich kas dilavot, a cup of curse. That's a very scary word. He translates the cup, not the cup of poison, but the cup of a curse. Dilavot. Tirvi, you'll drink it. The sis rokni, and you'll vomit it out. Okay, so this pasuk speaks for itself. Okay?
No, the Targum speaks
for itself. Targum's embellishment is that Edom is yet to be defeated by the Persians. Who would ever imagine? You think about the Muslims. You don't think about...
Right. So the Muslims, Persia...
No, not really. They're not really. Not really, no. They're not Arabs.
They're Muslims.
They are Muslims?
They're Muslims, but not Arabs.
They're Muslims, but not Arabs. They're Persians. They hate each other.
Right, exactly. So we don't look at them as but they're Muslims?
Sure.
Yes.
They're Shiites. Oh, they're Shiites.
No.
The B'nai Yishmael.
They're not B'nai Yishmael.
They're not B'nai Yishmael?
No.
The Gerim.
No, they're not at all. They are from the B'nai Keturah. B'nai Keturah.
But have they embraced the religion of Islam?
Yes.
Oh, so they're Gerim.
Different
Nusach. A different Nusach. Ashkenaz, right?
We're
Shiites and Sunnis.
And not only that, but the actual ethnic Persians are not even half of the population of Iran. Iran is really a conglomerate of minorities pasted together.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so when we say the Parsim, it's a very distinct group. It's not the same as saying Yishma'elim.
It's a very difficult thing to pin down.
Today we live in a big melting pot among the goyim as well. So when you talk about the Yishma'elim, Islam, we get all confused. Who is who? Because we always like to go and trace and say it is Esav and Yishmael. Esav and Yishmael are the two arch enemies of Klal Yisrael. They were rejected by Sarah and by Rivka. Sarah said about Yishmael, out.
Out.
But they're not natural allies either.
Right. So today, when we try to look at the world today, and we try to view in the eyes of Chazal, so we're trying to figure out which nation is the heir to Yishmael, which nation is the heir to Edom, and then we try to fit them all the Mamre Chazal into these nations, which is very confusing, because we can't really, it's very hard to pinpoint, well, who today really is called Yishmael. What is Yishmael? Does it mean you're a biological descendant of Yishmael, or does it mean that you have adopted his faith?
We say in the Slichas, Kalei Seir v'choistoi v'yalu l'tzion Yishmael.
Seir is Edom. Edom. And it's a father-in-law. Is Yishmael. Okay, so the only point I want to make here, we have over here a distinct group. The Targum deliberately did not say Yishmael, the Bnei Yishmael, did not say the Aravim, which we all usually associate with the Bnei Yishmael. It said here, not all the time, even that's questionable. But here it says the Parsoim. Today, Iran is definitely fits the description of the Parsoim. Edom, I think, according to many of you, are all the descendants of Bnei Esav. Mm-hmm. Esav, that L'chor is Edom, is America and the EU. EU, yes. We view to be the Bnei Esav. And the Parsoim is, and it says here today, there's a lot of friction obviously going on between the two. And the Parsim are chanting death to America as we speak. They're making demonstrations and burning the flag in the United States. And yet the United States is appeasing, is willing to, I don't know what's going on over here. Nechnas by Ruach Shtus. Whatever that means.
It still doesn't mean that Iran is going to destroy the West.
It's all about money. They're giving them, the commentators, listen, I don't know from nothing, what do I know? But it's very frightening. It's very frightening. The most frightening thing that I read is the money. They're giving them now. They're gonna undo the sanctions. And where is that money going to go? And the fear is the money is going to support terrorism. That is the pachad. The deal may be a good deal. For 10 years, and they're supposedly, I don't know, they're gonna outsmart. They're probably gonna deceive us anyway. But they're gonna hold their nuclear ambitions. But what about the money? The money, hundreds of billions of dollars. Where is that going? It's a pachad. Pachad. What's that? What's gonna happen? Yeah. What? Okay, but it says here that the Parsim are going to deal a serious blow to Edom. Is the Targum talking to our generation, or is the Targum talking to something already passed in world history? In the Crusades, were the Parsim involved in the Crusades? No, I don't think so at all.
At that time it was strictly Arabs.
Arabs? It wasn't allowed. So was there ever a time in history where we can say this already happened?
No.
I hope so, because I don't want it to happen now. Now it's not the good time. Nah. We don't. What?
To go so far to say that this is necessarily going to happen.
It could happen in Yemos HaMashiach. When is that going to be, Yemos HaMashiach?
What I'm saying is that there's very few such references to Paras. You have to look really hard to find it. Whereas it's not a primary source, okay? And that's not the way most of the sources describe it. Describe it Hashem taking out Edom in the final analysis, not Paras. And I can show you another place where Paras is said to be a subset of Edom.
Okay, so in all the literature that we learn about Yemos HaMashiach, Paras is not a player, very minor player. It's Edom, it's Yishmael. You don't see Paras being. And here we have this pasuk in the end of Eicha, the Perek Dalet, a very frightening pasuk, and it's going to repeat the same thing again in the next Targum, the last pasuk, which we're going to do tomorrow. It's just a very frightening pasuk. We're dealing here with Edom and the Parsim, and this is current events. These two are now engaging.
No, the pasuk doesn't say anything.
It doesn't say it. I know the pasuk, the Targum. I know the
earlier. Yeah. About the Koshel Tarela, that is Hashem
taking things out on
Edom.
Granted, I'm masking 100%, but I'm talking about the Targum. The Targum is very significant. The Targum is Ruach HaKodesh. It's Ruach HaKodesh, and it's telling us this very frightening thing about that the Parsim are going to be Tzaidon Yosich Parsim, the Sabid Alayach Kas Tulvot. They're going to attack you. They're going to attack you, and they're going to give you a cup of poison. Okay, so with this we have the last pasuk of the Aleph Beis, pasuk Chavez Tavaluda and Mirshem tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.